medicine on Shabbos.
Okay, yeah, ready? All right. We are in the middle of discussing different aspects of medicine on Shabbos and what the halachic issues are. Last week we spoke about a number of cases related to chol she'ein bo sakana, which is somebody who is ill, a more serious illness, but not life-threatening in any form. We basically said that somebody in that situation is allowed to take medicine himself. They're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something for them. And we discussed a little more about what who's included in such a category, meaning who would be defined as a chol she'ein bo sakana. So we said the basic principles were somebody who is either sick in a way that he has to lie down, or somebody whose whole body is sick, meaning your whole, even if you only have a certain type of pain, but it affects your whole body, your whole body is suffering from it. And then we gave a bunch of other examples that were related to that, meaning the idea that it doesn't actually have to be that you're actually lying down; it has to be something which is, where you would lie down if you could lie down. If you feel like you can't function normally, maybe if you can't, if you wouldn't leave your house because of that type of illness, we get a bunch of different examples that we gave when it came to that.
That was the second level.
And yeah, correct. And then we give a couple other points related to that that I think I found in Rabbi Botner's Sefer here about other random things related to chol she'ein bo sakana. I found also now, which I hadn't seen last time, a couple other points which we can go through, I guess. In terms of different types of people that are included. So, I guess what we'll do is like this. Let's do a couple more points about chol she'ein bo sakana, and then we'll go to the next category or two, which is basically mainly chol she'ein bo sakana, though there might be one other category in between, which I think we did not talk about yet, so I guess we'll have to address that first. That's called sa'ar, somebody who's in pain. I forget where he deals with this here, but I guess we'll talk about Tsar just briefly for a minute or two.
Tsar is the fourth level, or
it's like together with Chol she'ein bo sakana, but it's not as quite as clear cut, but it usually goes together with Chol she'ein bo sakana. So we'll talk about it together, and then we'll move on to Chol she'ein bo sakana. Okay, so first, just a couple of points, interesting points from Rabbi Badner's Sefer here about Chol she'ein bo sakana. In terms of people that are included, so he has here a bunch of things. He says, number one, here he talks about the following. Let's see if I can find it. Here's the again. Here we go. Here, okay. So he says that somebody, even somebody who is sick, but he's not in bed, but if he would have gone to bed if it would help him. Okay? I'll read it to you. He says, furthermore, when an illness causes a person so much pain or discomfort that he cannot function normally, meaning he is so out of commission that he would stay in bed if that would help him, that person is considered to be incapacitated. And the examples he gives are somebody who, let's say, has painful arthritis, or his example is a severe fungal infection. Basically, other examples where, maybe one could argue also in some cases maybe a very bad stomach.
Or you threw your back out, maybe?
What'd you say?
You threw your back
out. Yeah, okay, something like that. Anything like that where your whole body hurts. And if it would help, you would go lie down for the next 3 hours. But for those things, it might not help to lie down. Mm. So he bases it on a comment by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, which is quoted in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, where it basically says that point, that if he would have gone to bed, if it would help him, but it won't help him because that type of illness, it doesn't help. So so he says that's still considered the same category of Chol she'ein bo sakana, so that would be Mutzer also. Mm. He says, what else? You mentioned already psychological disorder last time, I think. Do we talk about the case of somebody who's not quite sick at that sick now, but he might get worse after Shabbos? We mentioned that case.
I asked you if someone would be sick enough that they don't think medicine will be half bedridden. You said you get to it, so I don't think you actually mentioned.
Okay,
that.
So then that's basically more or less this case, right? Okay, so I'll tell you what they say about this case here. I'll read you what he says, and I'll tell you what it's based on. This is in the top one who does not feel incapacitated on Shabbos, but whose condition is expected to worsen later, or even after Shabbos. to the extent that he will have to stay in bed, or that his whole body will be affected, is subject to the leniencies of being considered incapacitated even before he is actually sick. So he gives an interesting example here. I'm sure you can think of better examples. The example he gives is where you found out that you have strep throat, but you don't actually feel that bad yet. Meaning, I guess you got a strep test before you know how bad it was. And then at some point it might get worse. So the question is, do you start your antibiotics now, or should you wait until after Shabbos? Again, I think you could think of better examples of this type of situation, but that's the example he gives. He says that's definitely mutter. This basis also is from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He says here, this is quoted in the Sefer Nishmas Avraham, which is by Dr. Abraham, you may have heard of it, medical halacha, a lot of it based on Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He has another example here of a certain type of respiratory infection, where it's not so bad now, but it could get worse if you leave it without giving the person antibiotics or anything else. So he basically says it's mutter to take the stuff on, take medicine on Shabbos. He says, why should we wait until he gets really sick? Even after struggling, no, if you can prevent it, right? Why should you wait until that if you don't need to wait? And he's quoted also in the Sefer Mincha Shlomo, which is Rosh Hashanah Orbach's own writings, and he wrote it himself, says it's basically the same thing. Okay, there's no reason to wait. And then he's a few other poskim here. There's some more discussion about it, but halacha l'maaseh, that's basically...
So it's preventative medicine is okay, is what you're saying.
Well, in this case, what's interesting is that there's a couple levels here. The case that he's talking about here is a case where right now you are already ill with whatever the illness is, but it didn't get quite as bad yet. So you're allowed to take the medicine now so it doesn't get worse. Okay? Two other variations of that case, which may be what you're talking about. He says here, number one... He says, what happens if you want to take medicine on Shabbos so that it shouldn't get worse tomorrow? Meaning not that it wouldn't get worse this afternoon, let's say, on Shabbos, but let's say it won't get worse till tomorrow. Again, I don't know how you know exactly, but let's say you know. I have to think of a good example here, but whatever would be a case where you know that it would not get worse till tomorrow. So that already, they quote in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which I don't think we saw, but let's read it from here. He says that if that's the situation, so then... Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach apparently held that's also mutter, but others disagree. Others hold that in that case you would not be allowed to if it's not until after Shabbos, because why should you be allowed to do something today when it's not really affecting Shabbos itself? Okay, so that's a machlokas. There again, it seems like there's room to make it if that's the situation. And then there's another example here. There is I think there's where did it go? I saw it yesterday. Where is it? Alright, I don't know where it is. I think there is another discussion. Let's say that you're not sick at all today and you want to prevent it until tomorrow. Here it is, it's right here. Here's the example. Let's say you're not sick at all today. Okay, the illness didn't start yet, but you want to prevent something from coming tomorrow. We'll be an example of that. Do you have an example in mind?
Wait, say it one more time.
You're not sick at all today.
Okay.
Not, you don't even have the virus. You have nothing.
Right.
But you want to take medicine now to prevent yourself from getting sick tomorrow.
Wow.
Not on Shabbos.
Like echinacea or something?
Maybe. So I'll give you the example they give here, which is not exactly sickness, but it's the same idea. Is let's say that tomorrow's a fast day, and you want to take what they call tzom kal pills, okay, to help you with your fast tomorrow, but you want to take it on Shabbos, because the fast, let's say Tisha B'Av, starts Friday, we'll say Shabbos.
Interesting.
So you're about to do that. There might be other examples also.
What do they say?
So, it's a machlokas. Some people say it's okay, some people say it's not. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach here, also quoted in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo. So he says, he says it's mutter. He says it's as if you were already sick on Shabbos. A bit of a chish, definitely a bit of a chish. But he says that it's mutter. He says that's included in the heter of taking medicine on Shabbos.
Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah,
you're gonna let that happen.
Yeah,
I mean, is echinacea? Is that an actual? Because you know, people say if they quote unquote feel like they're coming down with something, you could take like.
I'd like to clarify
astragalus. Or,
as far as I'm understanding, what the rabbi's saying that it has to be an illness that would have been debilitating the next day. Not that you're going to have a mild cold the next day.
So it's a fast, though. Why is a fast? How is a fast debilitating?
Well, I think what they're saying, people that take
fast, they can't function at all. They get caffeine withdrawal. They're in bed. They don't function.
I'm assuming. Yeah, that's what he says. He says here. Okay. that it's mutter to do refu on Shabbos. Im yodeh shim lo yitlenu, if you know that if you didn't take it, by Shabbat, you pull machrato lishkav, and tomorrow you're going to be falling, you're going to be in bed. So you're right. That's a good point.
That's a tough one then.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm okay now, but tomorrow I'm going to be
right. So it's a bit of a chish. There are some sources that actually might support that, because we said again, I don't see that he quotes it here, but in the Shulchan Aruch we saw that there might be a possibility that if you're totally healthy, then maybe you can do certain things that would actually qualify as medicine, because we're not afraid that you're going to come to crush spices or anything. Because if you're healthy, it's not going to make you anxious. And if you're not anxious, then we don't actually think you're going to come to crush any medicine. But he doesn't quote that Shulchan Aruch here, so I don't know if he's basing it on that or not. I'm not sure exactly.
Like, I don't know, maybe if you run through poison ivy or something, and you know you're about... you can take something to prevent the crazy itching the next day.
Right, so that... I guess there already you could argue if something's already there, it just didn't start yet.
Yeah.
He's still going to get through, there's absolutely nothing there yet whatsoever.
Yeah, you're a novice, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyways, that's an interesting discussion. There's another case also, and this one is pretty pushy. I think we mentioned this one already, about antibiotics. Did we mention that? Can you take antibiotics when you know that right now your illness is over? Let's say you took antibiotics for 4 days. The illness is gone. I mean, maybe it's not gone, but you're functioning, you're much better.
Uh-huh.
But you know that if you don't take the antibiotics, there's a chance that either it might get come back, it might get worse, and whatever happens to antibiotics. What did you say?
Sounds like it should be okay.
So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. I don't know why I don't see it in here right now, but Rav Moshe does have a tshuva about that. I'm sure he quotes it in here somewhere.
It sounds like the last scenario, where you're taking preventative medicine.
It's really both. It's really prevent. It's getting you better from whatever illness you have, and it's also preventative medicine for afterwards. So Rav Moshe, so Rav Moshe says that it's okay to take antibiotics, and basically the idea is that they didn't. There's a few ideas you could say to permit it. I want to see if I can find it inside here. I don't have a tshuva, but maybe he quotes a better version, like a better explanation than me just saying it. Dalpad here, page 44. It should be right here. He just says. One who has recovered from a bacterial infection is required to finish his prescribed course of antibiotics in order to prevent the infection from recurring. Okay, basically that's what you said. He is therefore permitted to take the antibiotics on Shabbos, even though he no longer feels sick, because the antibiotics are required in order to prevent the recurrence of his incapacitating illness. Okay, so it's also in the Shmir Shas Kel Chatzah. But I don't know which parak it's in.
What about probiotics?
What are those again? Remind me what those are.
They restore. Correct me if I'm right or wrong. They restore the good bacteria that the antibiotics. It's the good bacteria that the antibiotics destroyed.
So what does it do for you? What is it supposed to do?
Some people take them regularly.
Okay.
But a lot of people just take them when they're taking antibiotics also.
Ah.
So
okay. Okay. So some people take it even when they're completely well, meaning even if they're totally healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would seem to be permissible. So if you remember, we learned last time that that anything which you do, which is
regular,
what if it's not regular?
What if you just take it when you take antibiotics?
So it's fine as long as some people that are healthy take it also, even if it's not you.
Ah.
As long as it's a somewhat normal thing for healthy people to take those things, which I guess what you're describing, the probiotics would be included.
Right.
Then halachically, it would be perfectly fine to take it on Shabbos, regardless of whatever the situation is in terms of antibiotics. That would be fine.
Right.
Okay. It's good to know, right?
Yeah. We're in.
Yeah. That's helpful. Here we go. This may or may not be talking about antibiotics here. It says here, in Shmir Shas Kel Chatzah, in Perek Lamed Daled, it says somebody who is obligated according to a doctor's order to take medicine for a number of days continuously, including Shabbos. So some people are make able to take them on Shabbos as well. And that's what he basically uses his bottom line here. The question is whether can he wait till after Shabbos to start? There's some discussions about that, how bad it is, whatever it is. But basically they say that it's mutter. The bottom line is that we definitely hold that it's mutter because we don't want it to come back again. There's also an idea that this is an interesting question. What about antibiotics for a case where it's not a Cholashim or Sakana? maybe let's say you're taking antibiotics for some sort of, you know, minor ailment, I don't know, some sort of minor, you know, body, you know, or muscle problem or something like that, which is not really Hoshin Mosakana, but or some kind of, you know, very low-key virus, or I don't have to figure out what it would be. There are some cases like this, though. So you, if you take the antibiotics, you know, it's not for a terrible illness, but if you want it to go, the thing to go away, then it would, then you have to take it, including on Shabbos. Mm. So again, the first thing is, by the way, if you can get away without taking it on Shabbos, that's obviously the best thing. Meaning, let's say you take it once a day, so you could take it on a Friday in the morning and Shabbos at night, and mostly Shabbos after Shabbos is over. But many medicines you got to take twice a day, which won't work, or it has to be a specific time. So it's always got to be in the morning or always got to be at night, again, depending on the situation. But there obviously are cases like that. So those would generally be permissible. That's what Moshe Paskins and most Poskim Paskins did as well. The antibiotics is mutter, because even there, because you don't want to get to a point, I mean, the Torah, the Chazal never prescribed that you can't take medicine if it means that you will never be able to get rid of the illness. Meaning, even if the illness is not quite at the level of Chol Hashem Lo Sakana, but if it's something that there's no other way to get rid of it other than using the antibiotics, so that was never, that was not included in their gzeira. That's what some people say.
I can stop you in the right spot, but at some point you said you're taking medicine on a regular basis, a number of days. It didn't sound like you're specifically saying antibiotics.
Yeah, I don't think he is. Well, I think antibiotics are included, but even non-antibiotics, we're still not saying also.
Like blood pressure medications, which might put you in danger if you don't take them anyhow.
For sure. So that would be either way, either because it's every day or because of what we said here, that you want to, it's preventative. You want to make sure.
Managing a life-threatening disease like diabetes or, right, we said that that's...
Yeah, so for sure, any life-threatening thing, for sure. But even if it might lead to a Chol Hashem Bo Sakana, anything like that, okay, asthma, other types of medications like that, that might, that you need to take every day in order to prevent yourself from getting to that point, that's for sure mutter, okay? Even if you don't know when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen, but to ensure that it doesn't happen. Same thing as medication for psychological illnesses. It's all mutter on Shabbos as long as, you know, you want to make sure that it doesn't get to the point where it becomes a problem, meaning that you have a problematic illness of Chol Hashem Lo Sakana. That would all be mutter. Okay, so that's that. I think we got most of the cases that I wanted to mention. One very important point here. Okay, this way I think we briefly touched on last time, but we didn't really go into it at all. So we'll take a couple minutes now to talk about it. What about a child? Okay, what's the status of a katan? So we saw, I think we saw this last time. Did we see the Rambam which talks about a katan being, you're allowed to do things for a, not for a child? Did we see that? Remember?
You mentioned that. I don't know whether you did it in the book or not.
All right, so if you want to see it inside, it's the Siman Shin Kaf Chet, which is the one we've been doing, Sif Yud Zayin. By the way, I mentioned this book to you last time, right? It's a great book to get if you want a book in English about medical, you know, illnesses and stuff like that. A great, great reference for everything. And he's got a lot of different types of things in here.
Shin Kaf Chet, what is it?
Yeah, so the Shin Kaf Chet, Sif Yud Zayin. Right in the middle, not in the beginning, but right in the middle. It's like the last three or four lines or so. Okay, where the Ramah starts. The Ramah is where it says, Haga mutar lamar leino Yehudi. You see what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says, mutar lamar leino Yehudi lasot tavshil l'katan she'in bo lama lechol. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew. This we mentioned also, that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew things for a chol she'in bo sakana. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to make a cooked food for a katan she'in bo lama lechol, who doesn't have what to eat. Now again, I don't know if it means he's starving or it means he's just very picky and he refuses to eat any food that you already have. Again, today this is not a practical thing to ask a non-Jew to do it for you. But the point is that it illustrates the idea that a katan is included in the category of a chol hashem mosakana, even if it's just because he's picky or because he's more fragile, whatever it is. He's automatically included, even if he's not, you know, confined to bed or anything like that. That would be permissible. The stam sarfei katan kechol hashem mosakana dami. Because normal needs of a child are treated, meaning if he actually needs something, it's considered as if he was a chol hashem mosakana, even if he's not. Even if he's not, you know, confined to bed, he's not that type of illness.
You just clarify. From what you just said, it sounds like he's not sick.
Yeah, he needs something. He needs something that
he's
needs.
Hungry. So okay. Not sick.
Again, so that's correct. Now, hungry. What does hungry mean? Right. If he could just eat cereal or he could have, you know, noodles that are already ready, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a case where whatever food you have, he refuses to eat and he's very hungry. Okay. Now, usually, if a child's hungry, they will eat. Okay. Usually, even if they don't like the food, usually they will eat. But whatever the case is, let's say you didn't have the proper food again. You didn't have anything in the free, that was ready-made, or who knows what. Again, the point is here that if the katan, if the child needs something, even if he's not sick, then that's permissible. Okay. So just as an example, I'm just giving an example. Let's say that it's very cold in the child's room and the heat's not on. And it's not easy to move into another room because they have this is their room and whatever it is. So if it was irrelevant, you would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to turn on the heat for him, something like that. Okay. Again, I'm not saying that's the most practical thing to do, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. It's not so easy to find a non-Jew, but you get the point. The point is that he has the status of the Chol Hashem Bo Sakam because that's a need that he has, even if he's not sick right now. Okay. That's a good example. Other things also, again, we'll see in a minute. Certainly in terms of medicine, he would be allowed to take medicine of any sort, even if he just has a minor headache or a minor earache or whatever, for sure. I mean, you don't have to get to the point of what an adult would be in terms of Chol Hashem Bo Sakam in order to allow him to take.
What about topical medicine? Or are we going to get
so
to that?
So there, that's, in theory, in terms of medicine, it would be okay, but the problem there is in terms of rubbing creams onto your skin, which is a separate problem of Mimareach.
Okay.
Mimareach is an Isur D'oraisa.
Okay.
So if you can do it in a way which avoids that, so then in terms of the medicine issue, it would be permissible. Again, we have to figure out what age a katan is, but assuming that he's included, you have to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
What are you saying? I was going to say the way to do it is you can't rub it in. You have to sort of just put it on or like dab it like this and then leave it.
And leave it like floppy.
Yeah, basically. That's the way that's usually.
And what about the case of like someone steps on a rusty nail? Can they get a tetanus shot?
Very possibly got to ask the doctor, meaning that's something which could be dangerous. If the doc, I mean, maybe you know better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that they actually think could be a serious concern, then the answer would probably be yes.
Right.
But I don't know. I just don't know today whether that's something.
Moshe, has tetanus, does that come on immediately? Can you wait?
You usually have time. If you've had tetanus on the last 10 years, you're probably covered.
Right.
It's more than
most
5 years,
right?
You're supposed to get a booster.
Uh-huh.
So if
you've
had one 5 years ago and you got a step and a rusty nail, 5.5 years, you're going to get a booster shot.
So you should wait till after Shabbos, or
that's not going to, that will not be critical.
Right.
Booster shot.
Right. So you have to
ask your doctor for details. But
right.
Not rely on right now. See how
good
that was.
Yeah. See if it says anything about it here.
But the tetanus will be less than 20 minutes.
Right. Good. Okay. So let's see. Just want to see if he has anything to add here on that point. I don't know if he's going to talk about a nail here. No mention of a nail.
I mean.
What?
Hope it doesn't happen, but
yeah.
It can be quite common in Israel with
right.
construction.
Here, they do have a section on tetanus shots, see bleeding and cuts. I don't think it's going to... Let's see, just take a quick second here. Bleeding, he says, bleeding cuts from minor wound, 147, 148. Okay, so I don't know if we're going to get into every single detail about bandages and bleeding and wounds and all kind of stuff, because we could, but it'll take a long time. There's so many different things you can go through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to have time to deal with all of it. If you want to do it quickly, we could do it next week. Here he just says, all right, just gives a lot of medical background. Stop the bleeding. Okay, fine. That doesn't help. Here we go. Very good. Okay, this is basically almost exactly what you said. Let's read. If one was cut by something dirty, he doesn't say nail, but I guess that's what he means, a tetanus shot might be required. If the injury requiring a tetanus shot occurred on Friday afternoon or evening, one should not wait until Moshe Shabbos. That's only Friday afternoon or evening. Not Shabbos day. 24 hours, that's why. Good. So he says, even though right now it's not Sakana Nefasha Mamash, because at that time it could lead you to Sakana later. Okay? If it is possible to walk to a doctor, he should do so. If it's not possible, you can ask the doctor to drive you, etc., etc., etc. However, if the injury occurred on Shabbos day, and he had been vaccinated for a tetanus at least once in his life, he should wait until after Shabbos to get the tetanus shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he said, Dad Rufim, based on the doctors, that in that situation, it's not a problem to wait until after Shabbos medically.
Based on Dr. Moshe Rovman?
Yeah, again, Moshe knows what he's talking about, so he got it right. That's exactly what we say. Okay, very good. So the big question about a child, though, again, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just like a child who has like some sort of ailment or discomfort. The question is, what age are we talking about? Meaning, what age would be included? Is this rule that we said that a katan is automatically considered to be a chol hashem bo sakana? Again, it doesn't mean he's totally healthy. It means something is bothering him.
Right.
But it's not a serious illness. Okay, it's a mechush, one of the cases of the minor illnesses. So, it's actually a big machlokas what the story is in this situation. Who is it? Okay. The Minchas Yitzchak
Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss. So he has a tshuva about this in Chelek Aleph. And he basically says that, he mentions a couple points, I think. One idea that he mentions is related to the question of Yom Kippur. When are you supposed to fast on Yom Kippur? So the first age of children fasting is around 9 or 10.
Hmm.
Okay. So he thinks maybe that's connected to this. And there's other ideas also that they talk about. A little bit strange, I didn't quite understand. But it's about an age that a child still has special food. That a child still eats special food. And apparently the Minchas Yitzchak thought that those two sources combine, that those two ideas combine together to yield a conclusion that a child who is even up to the age of 9 or 10 would be allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, even if it's just minor ailments. Okay, which is a bit of a leniency. That's what he says. And believe it or not, the Shmir Shabbos Kochas actually passes that lahalacha.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to look inside, it's in Perek Lamed Zayin. Okay. Perek Lamed Zayin, the very first halacha in Perek Lamed Zayin, he says, it's halacha bet in parakalos. And yelad ad gil teisha o eser, okay, until 9 or 10, according to his stage of development or how healthy he is or whatever, is treated as chalashu begufo, as naturally weak, v'zakuk l'tipul biyuchad, and gets a special heter for, you know, special care on Shabbos. And therefore, he says in that case, Chazal allowed him to do whatever an adult would need for a choloshin bo sakana, as long as imam nomi yesh tzorach was, as long as there's a need for it. Okay, not if there's no need, but if there's a need, either food need or other types of needs. But he says, again, it's hakol fiha inyan. Okay, it depends on what the issue is. I mean, if it's something you can get away without doing anything, then obviously you shouldn't be mechal Shabbos or give medicine or anything. But if not, then you'd be allowed to. And he gives all these examples of a baby who's not nursing, right, and they need milk and other stuff like that. Interesting things. But again, you know, I'm not sure. You have to think about how that would, what the issue would be. Today, again, we have formulas, so many babies will take formula, so you can't necessarily make it like that. But if you have a baby which is only nursing and you're having trouble baby nursing, maybe, you know, there may be some clues that you can work with. Again, what he's talking about here is a different story, which we're not going to go into. If you express milk on Shabbos in a way which is permissible, then you can have the baby eat it, whatever else. All right. We're not going to talk about that now. But there is some room for leniency in terms of that. In terms of the general principle, though, so again, he says age 9 or 10, and the Minchas Yitzchak says that as well. However, Rabbi Bonner, in this book, he says a child 3 years or younger who has an ailment from which he suffers some pain or discomfort is allowed the same leniency as an adult who is in the category of incapacitated. So he's holding that it's only until age 3. Okay, big difference between age 3 and age 9. What is that based on? So he says here, he quotes the other opinion also. He does mention it, but he doesn't seem like he holds it like that. And he says basically, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach did not accept that, which is interesting because usually Rav Neuwirth follows Rosh Shlomo Zalman. In this case, he followed the Minchas Yitzchak. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in. It's in the Nishmas Avram, same statement from Dr. Abraham. So he quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach there, who says that based on the Chazon Ish, again, which is not so simple to understand, but basically they say the bottom line is that it's about age 2 or 3, and that's about it.
So for an ear infection, if this would hold by under 3, okay?
For sure, it'd be okay. Over 3, it depends on how bad it is. Meaning if it's just a minor thing, that just, you know, right, scratching a little bit, that according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that would not be allowed. It's something which is more, they're actually in pain, which sometimes happens, then you would be allowed, because ear infections can be pretty painful for children.
Okay. Right.
You just got to be careful to know how painful it is. Sometimes you think kids are just, oh, it's just the ear. You know, you're right. Just, you have to be careful to be sensitive to what they're feeling. Right. But assuming that it's not a major illness, then according to this, it would not be okay. So again, you know, I think it depends on the specific issue. If it's something which is bothering a child in a serious way, I think there may be room to rely on the Shmir Shas Kochas, on the Minchas Yitzchak. Meaning, if you see that it's bothering them, even if they don't quite fit the category of Chol Shein Bo Sakana, they don't have to lie down or whatever it is, but you see it's clearly affecting them, then I think there's room to, I think you can be makil. But if it's something which is really just a really minor thing, oh yeah, I have a little bit of a headache, and you know, or you know, I hear it's me a little bit, then they're off to play for the next 3 hours, and you don't see them, so. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure in that case that it makes sense to be makil in that type of situation. So you have to, you know, I think I call it lefiha inyan. Even though there is a clear machlokas here, but between the poskim, you know, both sides have some interesting chidushim. I think
the best thing to do is try to play it by ear and see what your child needs. If they need the kula, then you give them the kula. If they don't need it, then you know, then maybe not. I'll take the examples that he gives here. He says, again, these are just examples. These are not the only examples. He says, an adult bitten by a bee will usually suffer no more than a slight local irritation and annoying but minor pain, etc., etc., etc. However, if a child is stung, we are permitted to give him medicine, etc., etc., etc. If the child is not suffering from pain or discomfort from an ailment, he has not courted the leniencies of an incapacitated person. For example, if a child's stomach feels firm, indicating minor constipation, but the child is not complaining, nor suffering from pain or discomfort, we are not permitted to give him an enema or medicine. However, this is your field, right? However, if he is complaining, or he is cranky, or is straining and having difficulty relieving himself, then he is subject to the same leniencies as those of an adult who is incapacitated. Okay? Again, he's talking about a child here who is 3 years or younger. Okay, but even a child who's 3 years or younger, he doesn't have to be a choloshen b'sakana, but at least has to have some sort of discomfort in order to be able to rely on the leniency. If he's totally acting fine, even if he mentions a little something, you know, then you may not be able to rely on that. That's basically the idea. And you can see how it plays out. What I was saying is even for a kid who's older than three, depending on how, if it's an illness which is bothering them, you know, even if they're not lying down, but it's clearly causing them difficulty or you know, stress or distress, then there might be room to make ill there also. Okay, that's in terms of that. Any other points that we didn't mention that you asked? Things I don't remember that I didn't quote. There's a lot of stuff, but I'm saying anything specific that we mentioned that we might talk about at some point that I didn't get to. Remember?
I don't know if you finished the sickness yet. Basically mentioned multivitamins, people that are...
Ah, that's right, vitamins. Okay, fine. So we didn't talk about vitamins. Let's talk about it just for a minute or two. Are you allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos? So, what'd you say?
No,
so the answer is, and we could make you guess, but I'll just cut straight to the chase here. The answer is, as you might have guessed, it's a machlokas.
No, because, well, if you're taking them regularly, it sounds like...
Okay, so the question is, how do you deal with vitamins in terms of the halakhic points, and doesn't matter what... purpose you're taking the vitamins for.
Also, is there a difference between liquid and non-liquid? I'm
guessing right.
Liquid would be no, and maybe non-liquid.
I don't think it makes a difference.
I thought we said that liquids that are exclusively used for medicine, unless they're used by people that are healthy, it's okay, like herbal tea.
Yeah, healthy, but it depends what your liquid is. If your liquid is something which is everybody always takes just as a vitamin, then it would be the same status as every other vitamin.
Okay.
If it's something which is a regular food also, so then maybe not. Mm-hmm. Question is, what is the status of a vitamin? That's basically what we're discussing here. So, let's start with the Shmir Shas Kilchas, and then we'll move over to what Badner says in a couple lines of the Mishnah Berurah. If you look at the Shmir Shas Kilchas, where does he talk about it? Let's see if I can remember here. I think it's in Perek... No, I think it's in Perek Lamed Daled. Let's see if I can find it here. I should have written down where it was. I think it's here we go. Perek Lamed Daled Halacha Chaf. That's where he talks about it.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, so let's see what he says here. You found it? Perek Lamed Daled Halacha Chaf.
Okay.
Does it talk about vitamins there? Mine is vitamins, and yours might be it's an older version, so...
Vitamin.
It is, okay, good. Asur la'adam makachat vitaminim b'shabbat. He says you're not allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos. Afilu, what is that?
Or Shemin Dagim, it says here.
Okay, yes, mine, that's only in the footnote. Okay, mm-hmm. I think today he cut that out because he realizes it's not so practical. It doesn't happen so often today. But he does say at the bottom, just the different question of if you take vitamins from the oil of fish oil, which is from a non-kosher fish. I don't think it means that you're actually taking non-kosher oil. It means that the vitamin includes as one of the ingredients, that type of thing. So that's a whole discussion. There may be rooms we make if you can't find kosher vitamins, but in Israel you probably can find kosher ones, so it's better to try if you can. Anyway, so he says in terms of the regular question of vitamins on Shabbos, he says you're not allowed to. Afilu kasher hu ragila kachta midei yom v'yomo. Even if you take them every day. V'ayisur gam kashem b'tam tuv. Tam tov, sorry, even if they taste good. V'asim kisukar yav v'kadom. Even if they're like, you know, candies. Elim kenu chole. Af shein mosakana. Unless he's actually sick. Even if he's a chole shein mosakana. Okay. That's the first thing he says. What is this based on? So he quotes you here, the Mishnah Berura. In Sif Katan Kuf Chav and Kuf Lamed, in the same Sif, when we talk about Shin Kuf Ches, which is the same one that other people say can be interpreted the other direction. This is what they say here.
Here, I'll read you what he says here. Mishnah Berurah, if you want to look at it, it's Siman Kuf Chaf. Okay? He's saying here that in a case where the Shulchan Aruch is saying here that if somebody does not have any ailment whatsoever, then it's permissible for them to eat or drink a therapeutic type of food. Okay? Meaning even a food which is clearly medicine. That seems to be permissible because you're not ill, so we're not afraid of any problem. You could take Tylenol if you were totally healthy. You wouldn't want to do it, but you could, in theory. Okay? Look what he says here in Kuf Chaf. Basically, you can eat or drink it when you're hungry or thirsty. You can eat or drink the food which is therapeutic in nature. But here's the point. But if you're doing it particularly for medicine, medicinal reasons, meaning what? You're healthy, but to make you stronger. Let's say the person is slightly, somewhat weak. So you're doing it to make you stronger. In that case, even if you're totally healthy, it's usur to take those medicinal foods. Okay? So meaning, if it's totally healthy and you're just eating it because you feel like it, so then that's okay. But if you're doing it for therapeutic purposes, even if it's a medicinal food, and even if you're healthy, but you're doing it in order to make you stronger, he says that's a problem.
Talk about chicken soup?
No, he's talking about foods. He's talking about actual medicine, medicinal foods that are actually like medicine, not regular foods.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're talking about then. I don't know what medicinal food is.
Cough drops, let's say. Let's say a cough drop. Okay, a cough drop, which is usually medicinal, not used by anybody all the time. Okay. Okay. So if you're taking cough drops because you want your throat to feel better.
You said last week that was okay. You said normal foods.
Yeah. So he's talking about the things that are not normal foods. Things that are they're foods, but that are usually used for medicine.
Okay.
So if you're totally healthy then and you're taking it for just because you're hungry, then it would be permissible. But if you're taking it for medicinal reasons, such as to make yourself stronger, l'chazek mizgo, so he says that's going to be usur.
So it's not chicken soup.
Right, no, not chicken soup, I don't think.
But why not, based on what you're talking about?
Because that's what we said last time. That's a normal food that everybody eats or drinks, so that's not a concern anytime.
Okay.
The Shulchan Aruch there is talking about a case which is eino machal mashke b'riim. Okay, something which is not a food or drink which is eaten by a healthy person.
Okay.
Then he says you're not allowed to drink it or eat it when you are for medicinal reasons. And then he says that's true, that's not true if you're totally healthy. Then it would be permissible if you're totally healthy. And Mishnah Berurah is adding that you may be healthy, but if you're weak and you're taking it to get stronger, so then that's still a problem. That's still considered to be medicinal in nature and it would still be not allowed. Based on that, the Shmir Shas Kol Chasa is saying that it's a problem to take vitamins. Okay. However, we didn't finish yet. Okay, there's a little more complicated in this. Let's keep reading. He says, but in places, or I guess families even, where it's customary to take vitamins with every meal, some people are lenient to take them also on Shabbos. And this, if you look in the footnote, he quotes some the Sefer called the Toldo Shmuel, and he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is the one known, at least for us Americans, he's the one known who said that that it's actually permissible to take vitamins on Shabbos. He quotes a few other poskim as well. A few other sources that he throws out here. But basically, Rav Moshe says that it's mutter to take it on Shabbos if you take it regularly at every meal.
Once a day.
What'd you say?
We take it every breakfast.
Yeah, I guess that would be the type of thing. Then he says, V'yesh machmirim azeh, and some people are machmir in that case. Eliam Kane, have I been invited to take the mazon misuya? Okay, only if it's basically coming to be a food supplement. So this is the machlok, basically between Rav Moshe Zalman Orbach, who's in the quote in the footnotes here, and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe seems to say that as long as it's something that you take every meal, or on a regular, it doesn't have to be every meal, but it means that on a regular basis, and you're doing it, let's say that you're doing it to prevent yourself from getting sick. So in that case, Rav Moshe would say that it's permissible. That's not the same thing as we saw before, that you're trying to get stronger. Talk about a case where it's preventative medicine, so to speak. Okay, preventative vitamins, something like the probiotics that you're talking about. Any of those kinds of things, according to Rav Moshe, is going to be permissible, even if it's considered like a vitamin. It's not a food. It's not a regular food thing. It's a vitamin. So that's going to be permissible. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, though, seems to think that it's a problem unless it's a food supplement. Okay, I mean, he agrees that a food supplement is going to be permissible. It's basically as if you're taking a food, as if you're eating a food. So that's fine. But if it's not a food supplement, if you're just doing it in order to prevent yourself from getting sick, so Rav Shlomo Zalman apparently is not so thrilled about taking that on Shabbos. He says that's not so great. If you look in Rav Bodner's books, I believe he's Makil here also. I don't remember exactly how Makil he is. In a second here. He says, page 17. He definitely says for children, I think you can take vitamins. Correctly.
Here, he says, vitamins which are taken to cure an existing illness are considered to be medicine. It may not be taken on Shabbos. Okay, I think that we know already. Then he says, unless one is incapacitated or will become incapacitated. Okay, fine. Unless it's chol shein bosaka. Then he says, Hagodah of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal ruled that vitamins and minerals which are taken to supply the body with essential nutrients for growth, or which are taken to gradually enhance the body's resistance to becoming ill, are not considered to be vet medicines. Okay, that's what we said before. Then he's got more in the footnote here, but that's basically the point. And then he says, other poskim, which we saw in Shmir Shabbos, are of the opinion that all vitamins are considered medicines. According to this view, one may not take any type of vitamin on Shabbos. However, again, we said that a supplemental vitamin might be, a supplemental food supplement might be okay. Then he says you might be able to just take the vitamins right before and after Shabbos, but you don't have to take it on Shabbos itself. Take it Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Take it with Shabbos at 7 o'clock. Right. Not such a big deal. And he says the same thing is true according to that about somebody who has an iron deficiency. Okay, this I think will be true according to Moshe also. If you have an iron deficiency, you can't take iron supplements on Shabbos because that's basically your medicine.
You can or you can't?
Cannot. Because there, it's clear that it's medicine. That's not a question of resistance. That's not a question of food supplements. I mean, maybe it is. But if you actually have an iron deficiency, then it's not already a food supplement anymore. That's a real illness. But it's not a major illness. It's a minor illness. Yeah. So he says, in that case, you cannot take it on Shabbos. You'd have to take it before and after Shabbos. Then he says, similarly, some people take zinc or vitamin C tablets at the onset of cold symptoms, which may enhance the immune system's ability to arrest the growth of the cold virus. Okay, by the way, you should just be aware. He says it here also, but it's not. That's not so pushit that it's... That actually helps. Okay, there have been a lot of studies about this with vitamin C at least. And it's really not clear at all that vitamin C actually helps at all with these things. But if you start doing it after you begin to become sick, again, same idea, that you're already taking it as medicine, then it would not be permitted according to anybody. That's according to everybody. Okay, so that's basically the story with vitamins. It's a bit complicated in terms of what the story is, but again, some cases everybody agrees that it's mutter, some cases everybody agrees it's aser, and some cases are a machlokas. When main case of machlokas is where it's you're trying to prevent your body's resistance from getting worse, from your immune system from getting lowered and possibly coming ill later.
Did you say, I'm sorry, put the vitamin C?
If you're taking it after the illness has already begun, then it's usher. Unless it's like a, I mean, yeah, basically it's usher.
Preventative vitamin C, no.
Yeah. I think it could be, again, this is the only question I would have on what he's saying here. Yeah, some people take vitamin C tablets all the time. So if it's something that somebody takes all the time, even when you're totally healthy,
right,
and not specifically as an illness, and not necessarily to make you better, but just to, you know, totally, totally preventative. So, I don't know. You could say that that's considered to be mutter. That's like a machal briyim, like it's something that somebody healthy takes also. But it seems like most of the poskim didn't accept that approach. So, it seems like you probably should be machmir in that situation. Again, food supplements is mutter according to Rav Moshe, not according to Shlomo Zalman. I'm sorry, that's mutter according to everybody. But if, again, it's resistance to becoming ill, little by little, so then already that Shlomo Zalman held that was a problem, and Rav Moshe would say that it's mutter. Okay, and again, for children, I think we're a little more makeup. For children, you can be a little more makeup. But again, depending on what age we're talking about here, depends on the machloks we had before, what age they could be makeup till. Okay. Okay. Here we go. I'm sorry. Okay. We finished this section. I realized there was one thing here I missed. I said before about taking antibiotics, just taking a medicine, which is, if you take it every day, you got to take it on Shabbos, even if it's not a chol shein bo sakara type of medicine. It's like a very minor ailment. So, again, antibiotics might be different, but if it's not antibiotics, apparently Rav Moshe held that in that case you can't take it. Rav Shlomo Zalman held it was okay, but Rav Moshe says that it's a problem. And then he says the only question would be if you don't take the medicine, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. So then he says it's okay. But again, so that's a machlokas. Again, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it was okay. In that situation, Rav Moshe was actually machmir about that point. But again, antibiotics might be different. That's talking about a regular medicine that you take every day, which is not antibiotics. That's that. Okay. Did I mention also about fertility medicine? Did I mention that was permissible? Did we talk about this last week or no?
No?
Okay, that's a big question also. Somebody who has infertility problems and they want to take medicine for ovulation or other things like that, is that considered to be mutter on Shabbos? So there, the whole discussion, is that person considered to be a chol she'ein bo sakana if they can't have children?
Interesting one.
How do you define a choloshed bo sakana? I thought we were going to talk about this.
Talked about that concept.
Oh, I did mention
how to define something, whatever. You'd mentioned like in the beginning. I don't know if we're going to
Okay, so I didn't mention last week, but I didn't mention right. it. I mentioned it at the beginning. Okay, so halach lamasa is actually a big machlokas, but many poskim are mekel to allow fertility medicine on Shabbos because they feel that the definition of choloshed bo sakana is that anything which you have a major part of your body which is not functioning properly. So if you cannot get it to function properly without fixing it, so then they felt maybe that makes you a choloshed bo sakana. In addition to the mental issues that you're, often infertile couples have, serious, difficulty with that and causes them to really feel mentally, I don't know about depressed, but it definitely is not, it's not simple. So based on all that, there definitely is room to be making according to many poskim, though not all. Okay, so we're almost out of time here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to start like one line about the next line, next concept. Actually, we'll leave it at this. Okay, we won't get to choloshed bo sakana tonight. We'll just mention one line quickly about tsar. Okay, what's tsar? But tsar is pain. Okay, many poskim hold this is halacha lemaaseh, also according to many poskim, it's based on the thinker of Yaakov Emden and a few others, that if you have tsar, a situation where you get like a burn or something which is very painful, but it's not an illness. Okay, so can you treat that as the category of a choloshed bo sakana in terms of taking medication and in terms of, let's say, asking a non-Jew to take you or whatever? So the generally accepted consensus is that it's actually permissible. Okay, again, it's a bit of a question whether it's what the halacha is, but halacha lamasa, it seems that many poskim would consider tsar pain without an actual illness. Okay, maybe the pain which will go away within a day or two, but right now it's very painful and you want to treat it. So many poskim say that's permissible to treat with medicine as well. Okay, now again, every example has to be dealt with individually. Meaning, if you have like a burn, you have a scrape with an infection, which is an open wound, it's bleeding. So there's a whole bunch of issues you've got to deal with, which we're not going to get into now. But in terms of, to disinfect the area, to put on a Band-Aid, all those kind of things, which are usually mutter, but they may have to be done in certain ways, which if you want, we can speak about it next week. If not, we won't. But in terms of the medicine issue, if you're trying to take a certain cream or something which is medicinal in nature, so most of the poskim said that was permissible also in that situation, because the fact that you have a lot of tsar, a lot of pain, causes it to be treated as a choloshed bo sakana. Okay, again, in terms of the details, we're not going to get into now, but they have a lot of stuff in this book. Shmir Shabbos also has a chapter on it, Parak Lamed Hey. It's all about tipul b'tzayin b'shabbat. Okay, with scrapes and wounds and stuff like that. So he's got all sorts of different types of cases. Dangerous ones, not dangerous ones, superficial ones, all sorts of stuff here, what you can do in all these situations. Again, if you want to look at it, you can look at the Shmir Shabbos or in Rabbi Bob's book. He has a little bit on that also. Okay, so that's a very, very 1 minute story in terms of that. In terms of choloshed bo sakana, we'll start next week. Okay, in terms of the question of life threatening illnesses, what qualifies as a life threatening illness or a danger? What if it's not there now, but it might get to that point? How much of a suffix does it have to be? What things are you permitted to do in that type of situation? Can you do whatever you want? Do you have to try to avoid things? Is it better to ask a non-Jew? So we'll talk about that all next week, God willing. That's all set for now. Any questions or any other comments before we do a 5 minute machshava here?
No.
Yeah.
There's okay. Some candles.
Oh, so when is this yard sale? Is it?
It's 21st of Adar.
So that's tomorrow? No, which night is that? Yeah, what's today?
It's tonight.
It's tonight? I forgot. I messed up on my dates. Let's think. 14. Yeah, is it tonight? 14. Was it today or is it tonight?
I think it's tonight.
Are you sure? Yeah, you checked?
90% sure.
Wow. Wednesday. You sure it wasn't last night and today? Last night and today?
Yeah.
Wednesday 20 of Adar? 21st of Adar?
Wednesday was Shushan Purim Katan, going to
life. Right. I have to figure this out. Last Tuesday was Yudalat Adar,
right?
And that means today is Chafalaf. What's his yard set again?
I think it's the 21st.
Ah, so that's right. Okay, perfect. Wow, I forgot about that when I did this, but I guess it was Hashkafa Prophets. Okay. Chafalaf Adar, right? Where is this? Gotta find the right place. I think even in this liquid here. Aaron Allen told me this also. They quoted it here as well. Chaf Aleph Adar. Wow, this is Mamash Hashkacha Prophets here. Chaf Aleph Adar. So they say, some of the Hasidim here said that in the Sefer Noam Elimelech, there's no Divrei Torah on Parshas Vayakel. And the reason why is because Chaf Aleph Adar often or always falls out on Parshas Vayakel, as it does this year. That's when he died and went to Chayel HaBa. So
It's not meant. There's no different Torah in this parsha, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was erased from Parshas Tetzave when he asked for to take him to Moshe to Hashem to take him out of the sefer. Anyway, so they in the Likud here they found some Noamelim Melech from other places. The one that I was going to look at very quickly is actually from this past week's parsha, which is still close from Parshas Kisisa. But it's close enough because it's about Shabbos, which is why we're going to do it now. And Shabbos also is mentioned in the very beginning of Parshas Vayakel as well. So it's relevant there too. Okay, here we go. So he says, Es Shabbos Hosai Tishmor, that's the pasuk from this past week's parsha, Parak Lamed Aleph. You should keep my Shabbos, is in plural. So he says, L'chor HaYalomer Es Shabbos Si, my Shabbos Tishmoru. Maza Kefel Tavin, why the double tough? Meaning, why does a Shab Totai in the plural should keep my Shabboses? So again, you can give a push-up shot answer that it means not just, you can't just keep one Shabbos, you got to keep every Shabbos. If you just keep one Shabbos, the idea of a Shabbos project is really nice to do it once a year, but that's not the way that it was meant to be. Okay, that's a beautiful thing to people that are not from, but that's not, you know, we can't say, oh, we did one Shabbos, we're Yotzei Zayin. You know, Shabbos is meant to be a continuous thing. That's one idea, maybe, push-up shot.
It's like someone saw a sign in the Reform Shuls.
Yeah.
For Tat Shabbat, and it was like, Shabbat Shalom. See you next year.
Right, right. Which again is funny, but it's also very, very sad. You know, and the same thing with the women in the Kotel and the whole thing with the four women in the Kotel. You know, okay, you can discuss whatever you want to discuss, but it's just sad because how often are they actually coming? They're coming, you know, once a year, twice a year. Again, maybe there'll be more now. Maybe there'll be more if they have a thing, which I guess is good. If you know, regardless of whether you like or not, they come to that Mukum, I guess it's good. Again, there are some, many of the Reform movement officially doesn't believe that there's going to be another Beis Hamikdash again in a way that's going to be what we think. So why do they come to pray? I don't know. That's another discussion. Again, you know, Reform people are wonderful. My father, by the way, has a lot of Reform friends, and he says that they're thirsting for Torah. He says he teaches them all the time. He gives a lot of classes to Reform rabbis, and he says they're mamish thirsting for Torah. They need real Torah. Not watered down, real Torah. Mamish real Torah. But again, you know, some of the principles of the movement, the way that they're, you know, especially the way they come across here when they're pushing and yelling about out of the Kotel, you know, unfortunately, sort of drives people, a lot of people, the wrong way. That's not for now. Anyway, so Noam Lelech, of course, is not going to give that answer. He's going to give it more of a Hasidus type of idea. Let's see what he says. He says, it seems to be near ki Shabbos hu rak ahava. The Shabbos is all about ahava. V'adam tzarech l'kashrei me'achol b'Shabbos. And a person basically has to connect, to tie together the weekday with Shabbos. Ki me'achol heim yira, because the weekday is about yira. The weekday is about fear. Awe. And he says, Yira, I'm going to skip a little couple lines here and back and forth here just to make it a little faster. I'm not going to read every single word. He says that we have to have Yira mitoch ahava. You can't just have Yira, awe, and fear by itself. That's not a good, healthy type of thing to do. It has to be together with or within the ahava, within the love. He says, because of that, that's why we count on every day of Shabbos, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Sheni B'Shabbos, in order to connect Shabbos to every day of the week. Now again, the push-up shot is, this is what the Ramban says on the Chumash. The Ramban says the idea is that we want to remember, as a Chor Yom HaShavu L'Kadosho, to remember Shabbos every day of the week. Mm. And we've spoken about this before, we've given different Torah on that also. That's the push-up idea, to remember Shabbos every day of the week. So the Ramban is taking an additional step, and he's saying that the idea to connect it to Shabbos during the week is so that the Ahava, the love that we feel on Shabbos, is connected to the Yira that we feel during the week and turns the Yira to Yira mitoch ahava. Mm. That the fear that we have during the week is from love. Okay, it's got to be fear from love, not just fear by itself, unadulterated fear, but rather fear from love. And then he says, when the Yira is from ahava, as agami me'achol nikraim Shabbos, then chol is also called Shabbos. Because that's also considered to be a level of love in that situation. It's not quite like Shabbos itself. Because Shabbos is only Ahava, Rak Ahava Levad. But Yemei Achol is Yemei Yira Machmas Ahava. Okay, it's Yira from Ahava. That's what he calls Mikzav Shabbos, part Shabbos. Which is just funny. Think about it. It's called half Shabbos. You know, today half Shabbos is all the people that are like texting on Shabbos and, you know, all those kind of things. You know what I'm talking about? Heard of this? That's the newest name of people that text on Shabbos. They keep half Shabbos.
You didn't realize that's on Monday.
Right, exactly. That half Shabbos on Monday. All right. He's got more Shabbos on Monday than they do on it. All right, anyway. So he says that idea of Shabbos society Tishmor, two Shabboses. Ratzolom or Shnei Shabbatot. What does that mean? How do you make a Chol? V'yom HaShabbos. The days of Chol is one element of Shabbos, because the Me'achol is also called Shabbos if you take the Ahava and bring it in during the week. And also, that's the one of the Shabboses. And the other one is Shabbos itself. L'harosh she'enom kumo Shabbat atzmo. He says, but it's not like Shabbos itself, but it's partial Shabbos. Shabbos itself is kulo Ahava, is all love. And during the week is the extra Shabbos. And he says, the point of Eshot Tishmoru, you should guard it, He says, Remez ala machshava. That refers to the idea of thinking. Okay, sometimes lishmor doesn't just mean to guard or to keep, it means to think about. That's what it says in Vayeshev, Aviv Shamarat HaDavar. Yaakov kept in mind the dream of Yosef, that he dreamed about the sheaves of wheat and the sun and the moon bowing down, all that kind of stuff. Yaakov dreamed, he kept it in mind. He didn't just guard it. He thought about it. Tahinu ikar ava hi machshava b'lev. Okay, the ikar of ava is in your heart. Think about it in your heart. He says, what comes out from this, that we have to, we have to tie together the weekdays to Shabbos in order to extend Ahava on Shabbos into the Yimei'achol. And you should have Yira mitoch Ahava. And he gives a few other examples here, etc., etc. He says that kamo midas hakadosh baruch hu sheyiras hanim mitoch avas ha'adam. That the Yira of Hashem and Hashem's Yira is supposed to be from the idea of avas ha'adam, from the love of a person. That's where you get to the, that's how you deal with the Yira of the, you get to the Yira, and HaKadosh Baruch was like that as well. His Yira also, whatever Yira he has, is mitoch ava for our for us. So the problem is he doesn't explain what is Yira, what's ava for Shabbos. What does that mean? The answer, I guess, it has to be the way that, just simple, that Shabbos is supposed to be a time of love of Hashem. Shabbos is not supposed to be a time of being scared, of saying I'm fearful of what's going to happen, I'm Yira Sachit. Shabbos is a time of pure love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, we have to get to that point. It's not so simple. Okay, you got to make sure that everything that's swirling in your head and all the things that are going on around you are not going to prevent you or stand in the way of making your Shabbos feel like a Shabbos of Ahava. If your Shabbos does not feel like a Shabbos of Ahava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means you got to try a little harder. It means you got to work at it a little bit more. So what we're trying to say is that basically, once you have a lot of Ahava HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos, the idea is supposed to be, I think, that it spills over into during the week also. During the week, we have a little more Yira, okay? Based on everything that's going on in the world, based on our lives. It's always, it's not so, oh, everything is wonderful. You know, we try, but it's hard. Things are difficult, and we have a little bit of Yira of everything that's going to happen, the unknown. We're still going to have our job, our kid's going to be crazy. It's not, you know, all sorts of different things. We have tears, and that's all based on Yira. Not just Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yira of life in general, which leads to, again, a bit of a Yira of Hashem, if you realize, you know, that that everything is based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So that Yira comes back to him as well. What's he going to do next to me, you know? But if you take a little bit of the Ava that's spilling over from Shabbos, the pure Ava that you're supposed to get to on Shabbos, and then you take that and spill a little bit of that into during the week. Hayom Rishon Shabbos, Shem Shabbos, every day you think a little bit about the Ava of Shabbos, so that's supposed to make your Yira that you have during the week mixed in together with the Ava, so that your Yira hopefully will, together with Ava, will not be, you know, total Yira. The healthy way of dealing with fear and these kinds of emotions is not just to have them by itself, it's to have a little bit of love with it. Bezras Hashem, the schus of the Rav Elimelech Yortzeit, which just happened to be the Hashkacha, happened to be that it fell out tonight, and then I happened to have brought the Noam Elimelech. Again, I knew it was around now, but I didn't do a dafka for that reason only. It was just because I knew there was something in about Shabbos in the parsha. I thought maybe he'd have some nice idea. So we should be zocha to take the 2 points, to take the Shabbos first and make Shabbos into an experience of Ahava, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a real intellectual and emotional sense. And number two, to take that Ahava and tie it, mix it in with our Yira of during the week, and have, even during the week, a healthy balance of Yira, which is important, obviously, but also Yira mitoch Ahava, to really be able to feel the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on all levels during the week, and remember Shabbos the rest of the week as well.
Sure.